Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game. And how you play it,
all about control.
And if you can take it,
all about your debt.
And if you can pay it,
it's all about pain.
And who's gonna make it?
I am the game,
you don't wanna play me.
I am control,
no way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt,
no way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder,
ready to run.
Like a Cleveland bitch
from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I make the rules.
So move on out,
you can die like a fool.
Try to figure out what my move's gonna be.
Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me?
Don't you forget there's a price you can pay.
Cause I am the game and I want to play.
TFA fam. Hope you're all doing super well. It is here. It is here. It is here. It is here. It is week one. We are done with all the sleepers, bust, rankings, draft rankings, all that stuff. And we are actually... We have matchups to talk about. We have games to talk about. Kev, your KC Chiefs kicking things off on Thursday. What an awesome match that has the highest over-under on the week as well. So, man, there's so many thoughts running through my head. We were just super pumped to get this kicked off with you guys. We apologize for starting a little bit late here. My brain cells, I think I left them in Maryland, took a little trip with, you know, a couple of my close buddies and families, and tried to do the whole day drinking thing. And that my body is like,
as I once was, but I was good.
It was man, I didn't even like, thank God our children were there. So like my buddy has a five-year-old daughter. There was another. My son was obviously with us. He's going to be two. My other buddy has a daughter who is two. There was a kid who was under a year old. So thank God those babies were there to keep us in check, because I'm sure there would have been a lot more damage done. But like it was more than enough. And like I said, my brain cells, they're evaporated. They're gone somewhere. So we were knocking some rust off. We did the week one waiver, so be sure to be look on the lookout for that. We just recorded that. Probably should have jumped on this first, but hey, week one's here. That's the only thing that matters. We're here with you now. We appreciate all you guys that are rocking with us. Even CJ Lang, I mean, who's that turd? I don't know who that is, but he's in here talking about Zimas. I was straight smearing off ice, homie. That's what I was down there drinking, not Zimas.
White Claw on it.
No laws on the claws, baby.
Hey, but it's week one. Let's fucking go. Like, I've been waiting for this. Like, I'm so tired of talking about drafts and ADP. And it's fun. It's great to do. But we are finally fucking here. The real thing is fucking here. We didn't think we were going to make it. You asked a couple months ago. I think we've all been on like, I don't know if we're going to get a season.
Yep.
Here we are. We're going to fucking get it. So I'm fucking excited. The Chiefs play on fucking Thursday night. Rematch of what was that, the divisional game where the Chiefs were down, and then they came back and just dropped the fucking hammer on the Texans. So, you know, we're going to start off with a bang. But, you know, if not, make sure you're hitting that subscribe, that like button, because we are going to be crushing it this year with all the content. We got this. We're going to be doing every normally every Wednesday night. But, you know, Cody, who goes on vacation, first of all, week one of the season? Who goes? Nobody, but he is. So we had to move some things around. We have the DFS pod that we're going to be doing every week as well. We're actually going to be doing that this week on Tuesday. We'll go live tomorrow night for DFS talking about week one. So regardless, hit that like, hit the subscribe button, because we're winning championships. And let's just start right off, right? Let's just get right into it. So let's start with the quarterback position, start or sit. Where are you at this week on the quarterback position?
So the way that we are going to roll this year, if you are new to the TFA airwaves, first of all, thank you for joining us. But we're not going to waste your time and go through and talk about, like, are you going to be playing Lamar Jackson this week? We're not going to waste your time with that. If you drafted one of those guys early, you damn well better be starting them. So we're going to go a little bit deeper at these positions and talk about guys who you might actually be making decisions on, maybe some guys who you're not really thinking about right now. So for quarterback, we're going to go outside of the top 12 according, and I'm going to be kind of rattling these off based off of Fantasy Pros consensus that they have right now. So kicking things off, Cam Newton versus Miami. Obviously, that's a good matchup. We're not really entirely sure what that offense is going to look like. So I'm excited to see that just from Cam's perspective and what New England is going to be doing with him. So I do like that matchup. Jared Goff, we were just talking about him on the waiver pod. He's only 41% rostered in ESPN leagues. Going up against Dallas, that's going to be I think that's the second highest over-under on week one slate. So I like that one as well. Matt Stafford, if you've been paying attention to us at all, he's someone we've been high on going up against Chicago. Jimmy Garoppolo also has an interesting matchup against Arizona. That defense still has a long way to go. Aaron Rodgers at Minnesota, he might be a guy that I'm fading for this week, just because I don't know what that offense is going to look like. The Vikings defense isn't what it used to be, but with just Devontae Adams, I'm really not sure. A guy that you might have drafted as your QB1, who I would absolutely be sitting this week, is Daniel Jones going up against Pittsburgh on Monday night. You can definitely grab one of these guys that, you know, I just rattled off. I'd much rather start Newton, Goff, some of those guys over Daniel Jones. For week one, this is normally a kind of dipping the toes in the water, because we're not really sure what these teams are going to look like. And that is times 10 with all the COVID stuff. No preseason, nothing at all. We have no idea what these teams are going to look like against other teams. They've only been practicing against themselves, obviously. So there's not really anyone that jumped out to me, especially with anyone that you drafted, you know, relatively early, or as your QB1 outside of Daniel Jones, that I'm really looking at as someone that you need to sit. Teddy Bridgewater, another interesting option going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. So those are the kind of the guys that I'm looking at. Gardner Minshew, Derek Carr, even going up against Carolina and that trash defense. Eli Apple was just placed on IR for the Panthers, so that's going to be, you know, even making things easier on opposing offenses. Kev, who are you looking at in terms of someone that you are higher on versus consensus, or somebody that you were thinking about sitting at quarterback this week?
Well, I totally lockstep agree with Daniel Jones. I don't think you play him this week. This is not the ideal matchup to be playing him in. I think that somebody that I am very interested in this week is Jimmy Garoppolo, whether that's in season long, whether that's in DFS. In DFS, he's only 5,800, you know, going against Arizona. If you look at Jimmy Garoppolo and his two starts last year, he had 750 yards and 8 touchdowns in his two matchups against the Cardinals. Like you mentioned, the Cardinals' defense has not really gotten any better. I know there's some concern with that offense, but if you look at – it sounds like Debo Samuel is going to be good to go for week one. Brandon Ayuk could possibly be. So I think they're going to have most of their weapons there, George Kittle. So I love Jimmy Garoppolo week one. Their early season schedule is really nice. I think he is a borderline QB1 this week. Big Ben, he is tough to trust because of the fact that we just haven't seen him. We haven't got to watch any preseason action, and all we've gotten is training camp reports. But by all accounts, he looks like Big Ben, the guy that – that you know, his arm is still intact. He's not dead. You know, he's coming off the Tommy John surgery from last year. So they said that, you know, he has that zip on his ball. So if he does, and I think going against the Giants, which is a defense that I'm not really all that concerned with, I think Big Ben is certainly a consideration of somebody that I would definitely be playing this week. So for me, it's Big Ben. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. I like Jared Goff. I think Derek Carr is definitely in play at Carolina. I think the last time I looked, they were like a one-point favorite on the road. So I like Derek Carr as somebody that I would be targeting. I'm a little lower on Matt Stafford this week, just going against that Chicago defense. They are home, but I love Matt Stafford season long, but just for this one week, I'm not as high on him this week. I think there's just some better options. And, you know, for me, you know, if you wanted to play Teddy Bridgewater, if you had him, you know, fine. I think you could go there, you know. But for me, I think it's those guys. And those guys are all pretty widely available in most leagues. So, you know, if you were, you know, wanting to make a decision, you know, if you had a Daniel Jones, I would probably sit him this week for some of those guys.
What do you think about Deshaun Watson, obviously, going up against your Chiefs? Obviously, if you drafted him, you drafted him relatively early. Is he somebody that you would debate sitting and possibly picking up, you know, one of the guys that we just talked about, Goff, or, you know, somebody like that? Because as I'm looking at the, you know, the consensus rankings here, like I said, from Fantasy Pros, he's really the only one that, like, sticks out to me as like a maybe. I personally wouldn't be too worried about it, especially because of the amount of points that that game looks like it's going to potentially be set up to be. But he's really the only one out of the top quarterbacks who you probably spent early capital on that, like, I'm like, you know, kind of wishy-washy on.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't set up. Like, I think that the Chiefs defense is good. It's not great. It is, it's not a defense that's going to be shutting a lot of teams down, okay? It does enough to keep them in the game. And obviously they rely on their offense to do most of the work. The defense can definitely, or the offense can definitely, or excuse me, the defense, can, you know, create turnovers. They still have Chris Jones. They still have Frank Clark, Tyron Matthew in the backfield. You know, they're getting Juan Thornhill back from at safety, who they did not have last year. But other than that, their secondary is still a little bit of a question mark. They're not going to have Rashad Breeland, who is their starting corner for the first 4 weeks because of he's from a suspension. So, you know, it's Charvarius Ward. It's Rashad Fenton. So, yes, this I would not be sending Deshaun Watson in this matchup. I think this has 38 to 31 type of look on it. So, yeah, this is the matchup. I wish it was on the main slate because of DFS, because this would be the number one targeted game. It's not. I think the game that probably stands out the most, at least in terms of just over-under for this week, is probably, honestly, it's that Seattle Atlanta game. That game is going to have a lot of fantasy goodness in it. So, but you're starting Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. So, I mean, obviously that you're not breaking any news with that one.
Yeah, we had a question with the quarterbacks, Big Ben or Russ Wilson. I'm going Russ there.
Oh yeah, for sure. You're not even, yeah. It's Russ. I mean, Russ. That game, that game is going to be insane. It's definitely 100% Russ, and that's a situation I wouldn't own Big Ben. Like, you have Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson, regardless of whether you think that Russ isn't going to cook this year, that they're not going to allow him to, the dude is still the most efficient quarterback in the league and is going to ball. So.
And as we transition here over to running back, we did have a question from Frank U17, J.K. Dobbins or Gallup PPR. I'm going Gallup there. The matchup sets up to be really nice for Dallas versus the Rams, like I was just saying. And we're not entirely sure of J.K. Dobbins' role in that offense. It kind of seems like Mark Ingram is still going to get the lion's share at the beginning of the year anyway. That can obviously change. But that's where I'm going to go. That one to me is relatively easy, and I'm going Gallup. Kev, do you have any differing opinion?
Yeah, 100%. Like, J.K. Dobbins is something that I love for later in the year. Like, I don't think that he's going to have a huge role early. I think he's still going to get touches. I know he was listed on the depth chart as the fourth running back today, that when their unofficial depth chart came out. Do not even care about that. Do not worry about that. If I was somebody in a league and I thought people, the owner of J.K. Dobbins was worried about that, I would be sliding right in to try to hey, I'll take him off your hands if you don't want him. Because I think by the end of the year, I think he's the lead back. So, and I think next year he's probably a top 10 running back going in drafts.
Our guy Josh Twenter also jumped in. He needs two of these guys. Who are you taking? We're looking at Gibson going up against Philly, Chark against the Colts, Fuller going up against your Chiefs, Cup or Gallup. What two of those are you taking? Yeah, those are good. It's a good problem to have. I think for right now, I'm going to put Gibson to the side because I think you have some guys on that team who you can feel a lot better about knowing what their role is going to be for sure. Man, that's a...
I'm going Will Fuller for sure. Like, I think he's... I don't know. That's so tough because I also want to say Cup and Chark, but I think that Will Fuller could, smash this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think while he's healthy, you play Will Fuller. Maybe you get that 1 week out of him, and then you can at least gather up those points.
But there's no way I would say this. So there's no way that I could sit Cooper Kupp, regardless whether it's against Dallas or not that I'm worried about that matchup. And then Chark against Indy, I can't sit Chark either. So I would have to be Cooper Kupp or Chark. But man, that's tough. If there's like a flex option or anything like that, I would probably consider putting Fuller there.
Man, that's tough. Already stumping us right off the first one, man. Give me Fuller, and then I gotta go Cup there. As much as I want to play Chark, that's a super difficult decision. I think I have to go Cup there. But man, that is tough. All right, one more question before we jump into the running backs. Alikos, sorry if I'm messing that up, man. I need to start two full PPR in his flex. Jonathan Taylor, Devontae Parker, DeSean Jackson, Deontay Johnson, or Tariq Cohen?
I'm going Devontae Parker and DeSean Jackson.
You going with that revenge game narrative with D-Jax just going to smash against...
Well, he did it last year, right?
Yeah, he did.
And he did. Went, yep. 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. But that's not really so much that. It's just that I just don't think that there's going to be so many. They don't have as many options this week. You know, we already Jalen Reagor is not going to be there. Alshon Jeffrey obviously is not playing. So, like, he's going to be probably the number one wide receiver with Greg Ward on the other side. So, you know, obviously Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert are going to be there. But, like, DeSean Jackson is going to cook in this game. And there's nobody in that Washington secondary that I'm even remotely worried about being able to stop him. So that's why, for me, like, it's tough because I really like Jonathan Taylor. But week one, like, I think I want to let that situation play out a little bit because they are saying Marlon Mack is the starter, though I do think Jonathan Taylor gets opportunities. So for me, which is clear path to touches, for me it's Devontae Parker, which normally you'd be like, well, he's going to be seeing Stephon Gilmore against the Patriots, right? But Devontae Parker is the only one that has seemed to figure out that situation there. So, so I think it's Devontae Parker and DeSean Jackson. I do like Deontay Johnson, though. Like, he is a consideration for me with that great matchup against the Giants. But I would lean Devontae Parker and DeSean Jackson.
I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor because I think he gets enough touches in that matchup to give you – flex option consideration. I'm also going to go with DeSean Jackson. And I also like pairing together the floor and the ceiling there, right? Like, Jonathan Taylor might not smash, but he's going to get enough touches against a really bad defense with a really good offensive line. That game script should be in their favor. And then DeSean Jackson, like you already mentioned. So those are the two I'm going to go there. I would Devontae Parker would normally be in consideration, but he was reported to have that kind of lingering injury. They said it wasn't a big deal, but we still don't know how that's going to look. So just for week one, I would kind of put Parker to the side, see how he's used, and see if he gets a full complement of snaps there. And those are the two I'm going to roll with. Appreciate you guys jumping in. We are going to move on to the running back position and talk about our sits and starts for week one. Again, we're not gonna sit here and tell you you should start Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. No one has time for that. Those are guys who you're not gonna be sitting in any way, shape, or form, no matter what the matchup looks like. But getting into some of these deeper guys here, some guys who I like the matchups this week. Someone who you can't sit him, especially week one this week. I don't think week one is the week to get cute. But Nick Chubb, I'm not sure how that's going to go with against Baltimore. Not a great matchup. Not sure how that.
I was just going to say, before you say anything, I know what you're going to say, but Like, wasn't that the game that he went absolutely nuclear against last year? It was against Baltimore? I think, I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, because that was the game that, that Cleveland just smacked the shit out of Baltimore, wasn't it?
What was that, like week 17 or something?
No, it was early in the season. I remember that. Yeah, was it was earlier in the year. Anyways, regardless, keep going.
Yeah, either way, we're not entirely sure how that is going to shake out with Kareem Hunt. How's that split going to be used? So again, I'm not going to sit him, but he's someone who, you know, I think you should have your expectations lowered for week one. A guy that I do like, Raheem Mostert going up against Arizona. Again, just another trash defense. We already touched on Jonathan Taylor. He is the Fantasy Pros consensus RB22, which seems a little high to be consensus, especially week one. And I'm not even really seeing – and then Marlon Mack at 31. That kind of seems a little flip-flop for me. Someone that I'm probably staying away from who is a little bit higher here, Devin Singletary. I'm still not getting – I'm still not understanding why Devin Singletary is still held in this high regard, especially with everything we heard from this offseason. But he's the consensus RB24 right now. I wouldn't be starting him. You shouldn't have spent high capital on him. So he's someone you can feel comfortable with, you know, sitting on your bench this week. I'd rather start Zach Moss than Devin Singletary this week going up against the Jets. I think Zach Moss is going to be the one who handles, you know, the grind out the clockwork. They said it was going to be more of a opponent specific kind of thing, but I think this one plays into Zach Moss's hands a little bit better. Kev, someone I want to get your thoughts on. We had the question earlier. What are you doing with Antonio Gibson? He has been flying up draft boards ever since the news with Geis and then obviously with Adrian Peterson over last week. I think I looked earlier, and according to FF Calculator, he was at like 602 or something at 26 in the consensus here on Fantasy Pros going up against Philadelphia. What would you be doing with Antonio Gibson for week one?
I think it would depend on what else you had to start over him, because it depends on where you would have got him in the draft process, right? Because for some people, you may have gotten him in the 12th round. For other people that you may have just drafted this weekend, you may have had to take him in the 7th round. I like Antonio Gibson a lot. Like, I think there's been people that have talked about him and said, like, oh, well, you know, and they keep talking about, well, he didn't have a large sample size at Memphis, which he didn't. But the guy is the requisite size to be an every down back. Like, he's 228 pounds, right? He's not a satellite back. And so, you know, Adrian Peterson, which a lot of times I try to ignore coach speak, but when Adrian Peterson came out and talked about after he got cut was how he was the perfect fit for this offense and he is the guy for this offense. Like, that did a little bit more for me. That percolated a little bit more for me to know that. So, you know, Antonio Gibson is definitely somebody that I would have my eye on and somebody that I would not have any problem with starting in the flex, because I don't hate this matchup. I don't think the Philly defense doesn't, like, scare me. I think that, and I think this Washington offense could be better than what some people are expecting. I think Dwayne Haskins could take a step forward this year. With Terry McLaurin, we know they don't have a lot past that. Logan Thomas possibly, but for this week, like, I would, if I, depending on the other options that you had, I would definitely be considering starting him, because he could end up being like number two in targets in this offense as well, because they just don't really have a whole lot else. They have Steven Sims, which some people are excited about, Antonio Gandy-Golden, you know, Logan Thomas, guys like that. So I think it could end up being wheels up for Antonio Gibson this year, and it could end up being kind of a steal and kind of like a parallel of where you got him, because a lot of people, if you drafted early, you probably got him super late, and now – I mean, now you may have taken him, because, like, I saw this weekend, like, he was going like fifth or sixth round this weekend, which is, it's like, whoa, like, I didn't see that early. Like, I thought he was going to go up to like ninth, 10th round after the Adrian Peterson news. But regardless, I still think that the ceiling is definitely there for him.
What about any other guys that you're potentially sitting? Like I said, I mentioned Chubb and maybe just lowering your expectations for him this week. What about someone like Kenyon Drake? I know that you were high on him coming into the end of this process during the offseason. Kenyon Drake going up against San Francisco. I know they mentioned wanting to get Drake involved more in the passing game and get him out into space. What are you doing with Kenyon Drake if you drafted him? Is it kind of the same thing with Chubb where you're still rolling him? You're not going to sit him. Week one, and your expectations are lowered?
Oh, 100%. Like, but I'm not that worried about the San Francisco offense or defense, excuse me. I think San Francisco They lost a little bit with the trade they made with the Colts. I think that the secondary could take a step back. The secondary played outside of its mind last year. So I think this defense is definitely primed for a little bit of regression. I don't think it's going to be anything massive, but I definitely don't think it's going to be the best in the league. And so, yeah, I'm definitely fine. You're definitely starting Kenyon Drake, especially week one. I think that, you know, he's somebody that I think that you could feel comfortable with at least this week as a solid RB2. Guys that I probably wouldn't play, which would be tough, would be like guys like Leonard Fournette, who was just acquired by the Bucks. I think that, you know, this is kind of the opportunity that you hope that Ronald Jones early on produces well, and that you can sell high on him, because I think Leonard Fournette sooner rather than later is going to take over that backfield. Yeah, I wouldn't play Leonard Fournette. A lot of people probably drafted him high. I know it's a shame, but he's somebody that I would probably try to wait on a little bit, or I would try to acquire as a buy low candidate after a couple of weeks. Like you mentioned, Devin Singletary, I think you could play him if you had him. Depending on what other options you had, I mean, I think you could play him as like a, you know, flex option. He still should get passing work. He gets a great matchup against the Jets. The Jets defense is absolutely trash. I do agree that I think overall through the whole season, right now I have Devin Singletary ranked RB28, and I have Zach Moss ranked RB36. So they're pretty close to my rankings. I think Philip Lindsay is also somebody that you could consider playing this week at versus Tennessee. I think this is going to be much more of an even backfield split than what people really thought with Melvin Gordon. And so, you know, the guys that I would be nervous about playing this week would be like DeAndre Swift against Chicago. Like, I don't know how much of a role he's going to have early on. Kerryon Johnson, they brought in Adrian Peterson. So I don't know if I would play DeAndre Swift unless I was in a pinch this week. He's somebody that I'd probably want to leave on the bench at least for week one, to kind of see how these things play out. But I think Tariq Cohen is definitely in play. Somebody that I absolutely love is James Conner. I think he has top five upside this week. I think he's somebody that should definitely be in most people's top 10. And a terrific matchup against the Giants. I absolutely love him. And so, you know, so some of these later round guys, maybe like a flex option, like I mentioned, would be Philip Lindsay. Naheem Hines would certainly be in consideration for me. But that's kind of where I'm at. On most of these guys, I think there are some players that I would be going with hesitation, and other guys, like I said, Philip Lindsay, Zach Moss, are guys that I would look to play this week, depending on what you had.
What would you be doing with Todd Gurley? Obviously, it's not the matchup against Seattle that is worrying me. I guess it's more so of Dirk Cutter came out and said that the floor for him is going to be about 15 touches and possibly all the way up to 25, depending on how game script is going. Is Gurley somebody that you would debate on setting week one just to see how everything plays out? Obviously, depending on what kind of options you have behind him and where you took Gurley, maybe you just went wide receiver heavy and he's your RB1, which in that case, you're probably going to be starting him. But if he's like your RB2, maybe even RB3, depending on when you drafted, is Gurley somebody that you would think about sitting just for week one to kind of see how everything pans out?
No. it not against this matchup. I mean, Seattle's defense is certainly something that doesn't scare me either.
Right.
I mean, with losing Jadeveon Clowney, you know, I think they're going to have one of the worst, if not, you know, they're going to have one of the worst pass rushes in all of football, to be honest with you. And so I know they added Jamal Adams in the back end of that secondary. He's somebody that kind of can play, come up and play. Get into the box or everything else. But no, like, I'm not worried about that. I think Todd Gurley, like I said, this is one of the nut matchups of the entire weekend. And so, yeah, I have no problem playing Todd Gurley. I'm playing him with utmost confidence.
Before we transition over to wide receiver, we had a question from Corey James. Are you rolling with Jared Cook or Jack Doyle at the tight end position?
I'd probably go Jack Doyle, to be honest with you. Great matchup against Jacksonville. They lost Trey Burton to IR, so any concern with maybe splitting time is gone. And early on, like, I think that, you know, we know that Philip Rivers loves his tight end, and, you know, developing rapport with some of these other guys like Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, all, you know, with I think Jack Doyle could end up being a guy who, you know, I think gets seven or eight targets this weekend. And, you know, I like Jared Cook a lot. But I like Jared Cook as well. But for me, I would be Jack Doyle this weekend. I think this is just too good of a matchup to pass up with him.
I'm rolling with Jared Cook there. So if somebody in the chat wants to be our tiebreaker, I think everything you said about Doyle, I would put with Cook. Like, I just think that's a better matchup, better game script. I could see the Colts just jumping out to a lead over the Jags. Obviously, it's not that matchup per se that is going to have me hesitant on him. I like Jack Doyle as a season long option. He had that neck injury that kept him sidelined, so maybe he didn't have a lot of time to build up that rapport with Phillip Rivers. And I just think that is going to be a heavy run game for the Colts in Week One, and that's why I said I liked Jonathan Taylor for one of the questions that we got earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that there's a little bit more there for Jared. There's a little bit more target competition now with adding Emmanuel Sanders with a healthy Alvin Kamara. I think it could be Traquan. I mean, that's another guy. Traquan Smith. I think could be Traquan Smith season this year. But I don't know. I just like Jack Doyle a little bit more. I think they're both great plays this weekend and somebody that I would feel fine.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Start with either one, but I just lean a little bit more Jack Doyle.
Moving on to wide receiver, we're going to start with, like I said, with the deeper guys. That's how we're going to do things here on the TFA airwaves. So outside of like your top 20, top 24, Will Fuller, we already touched on. He is consensus wide receiver 27. We both like that matchup a lot. And hey, he's healthy right now, so start him while you got him. Looking through some of these other matchups, Tyler Boyd is, I think, he's wide receiver 32 consensus. Obviously, it's been one of my guys throughout the whole offseason, but I do like that matchup with him in the slot versus the Chargers. So I do like that. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Kev, I'd like to get your thoughts on that matchup going up against Baltimore. Obviously, they added Marcus Peters. They have who's the other cornerback I can't think of right now? Marlon Humphrey. They obviously have Marlon Humphrey on the other side, so that might not be a great matchup, but that the target competition is super consolidated there with Cleveland. So I mean, both those guys are probably looking at 25-28% of the target share over the year. We touched on Matt Stafford a little bit earlier, but Marvin Jones, I still think, is a good option. Consensus wide receiver 35 right now. Brandon Cooks, I'm probably sitting just because we're not entirely sure of if he's going to get the full workload or not with that quad injury. So he's someone I would probably look to pass on. You're probably not in any dire strait to be starting him week one anyway because of the depth of the position in 2020. Jamison Crowder, again, all the targets coming his way, even going up against Buffalo. That's not a matchup that it really worries me because Crowder is going to be functioning out of the slot for the most part. So I don't think he's going to see too much of Tre'Davious White, so that I'm not worried about that at all. Christian Kirk going up against San Fran, kind of the same thing there with kind of expect him to be in the slot. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe I think he's going to split some time inside and outside. I know you are a big Darius Slayton guy. The game script should at least be in their favor. Not sure who he's going to match up with on the outside there, but Sterling Shepard is someone I'm probably more interested in if they're going to put him in the slot. Touched on the Miami-New England game earlier. I do like Preston Williams, even though I'm a little bit further down on Devontae Parker. He's someone who I think you could fire up. Alan Lazard going up against Minnesota. Their corners are going to be their weak spot on that defense. Obviously, with bringing in Ngakoue, their D-line is pretty loaded with the Vikings, with Danielle Hunter on the other side. They still have a really good linebacker pairing. Their safeties are good, but the corners, I think, is where they're going to have the weak spot in that defense. And outside of Devontae Adams, who's going to be getting the targets there? I think Alan Lazard is set up really nicely as their wide receiver too. Is there, Kev, what are you thinking so far whenever you're looking at the wide receivers? Anyone that's jumping out to you as someone that you are fading that maybe is sitting a little bit higher? And is there anybody who's sitting lower that you are higher on versus consensus?
Well, I know one player that I'm really high on compared to consensus, and that's Greg Ward. I have Greg Ward at wide receiver 34 this week, and I think that for most places I've seen, he's at like wide receiver 100. I think that's ridiculous. I think all signs point to him at the very least being the slot wide receiver against Washington. And like I said, whether it's a matchup against Kendall Fuller or whoever else, wherever they deploy him, I think Greg Ward is in a fine spot this week. And so I like Greg Ward a lot compared to probably everybody else. I just think that this is a good matchup for him week one. And with not a lot of other targets there, with basically him and DeSean Jackson, like I like Greg Ward. So I have him. I think Deontay Johnson is a borderline wide receiver 3 this week. Definitely in consideration as a flex play in 3 wide receiver leagues. If you look at the Giants last year, the Giants allowed the 6th most receptions to wide receivers and the 2nd most touchdowns to the position last year. They didn't really do a whole lot to make me feel any differently about that secondary. So I like the Steelers a lot this weekend. I think this is somewhere that like I said, in DFS that I'm going to be all over this matchup, but I like Deontay Johnson. I think he's somebody that you can look at to play in the flex. Guys like Marvin Jones, I think is certainly somebody that I would be looking at playing there as well. Whether that's a wide receiver 3 or a flex spot. Anthony Miller is somebody that I think that going against Detroit, they lost, Darius Slay, but they did obviously, bring in the number 3 overall pick, Okuda. But I think expecting him to really catch on week one, I think is going to be tough, especially with they've had no repetition against any other team. It's, just practice. So I'm not really worried about facing that either. So I think Anthony Miller is certainly in play as somebody that I would look to play as a flex option. Jameson Crowder against Buffalo. Is not going to be seeing Tre'Davious White as he is going to be running from the flex. And let's be honest, I think he could get 10 to 12 targets this week. Jameson Crowder every single week is probably going to be in play for them. Sam Darnold loves Jameson Crowder. I think Jameson Crowder is somebody that I would be looking to play as a flex. And if he was available in any leagues, I would certainly look to add him because I think he is going to be a target monster this year for them. I think a guy like Henry Ruggs, I think you could play in the flex. Somebody, who could get 3 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown against this absolutely horrific, horrific Carolina defense. This defense is going to be so bad this year. And I think that's why I think that Derek Carr could cook this week. I think Henry Ruggs is in play. Darren Waller is in play. And I even think you could play Brian Edwards. I don't think you're going to have a need to play Brian Edwards week one because I can't imagine your team is in that situation starting out week one. But once bye weeks and everything gets here, I think Brian Edwards is somebody that I would look to have as well. But he is widely available in most leagues. But yeah, I think those are the guys for me that kind of in that slot. I think another guy that I'm really excited about this week that is Stephon Diggs going against the Jets. Like I think he is a solid wide receiver too this week for this team. I think that he is somebody that I would be looking to start no matter what this week. Like I said, at worst, I think he's a wide receiver 3. Depending on where you drafted him, he might be your wide receiver 4. And I would definitely want to fire him up as a wide receiver 3 or a flex this week.
Someone who's sitting up higher that I would absolutely be sitting this week is going to be AJ Green. I know I talked about Tyler Boyd as someone who has a better matchup. AJ Green won the injury. Apparently, he's going to be a full go for week one, but I don't know. Until I see it, I'm not going to be trusting AJ Green in any way, shape, or form. and going up against the LA Chargers, he's someone who I would look to be sitting, and someone who I really don't know how I feel about this entire offense as a whole. On the other side of the ball, Keenan Allen. Obviously, there's not a lot of target competition, especially if Mike Williams is going to be sitting out. But in this matchup, in a game that you would expect them to be able to control, I just don't know how many targets he's going to see overall. It has nothing to do with, you know, with what they have on the other side with Cincy. But at wide receiver 20, again, according to Fantasy Pros consensus weekly rankings, that just seemed a little bit high for me. So I think you probably have some better options that have higher upside that I might think about starting over Keenan Allen. But again, it's not the matchup itself. It's just that, man, I do not have high hopes for this offense in any way, shape, or form. We had a question from Ryan in the chat. Week one, Metcalf or Woods?
I like DK Metcalf, but it's Woods. For sure, for me, which is tough because, like I said, I love
that matchup,
that Seattle matchup. But it would be Woods. Like, I would ask, is there a flex option we can get in here that we can fit in DK? Because, like, I like DK Metcalf for this week one matchup against Atlanta, but I would still play Woods over him.
As much as I love Metcalf, I'm going to roll Woods there too. With what we saw toward the end of the year with LA and how they were running that offense, if, you know, Kev isn't exactly buying in on the heavy 12 personnel, two tight end sets. But either way, that wasn't going to affect Woods negatively at all, even if they did come out and do that. So, it's, like I said, you can't really go wrong either way, but the matchup and everything definitely is a point to Woods' favor there. We have our first trade question of the season. Would Connor and Preston Williams for Clyde Edwards-Helaire be a good trade?
As much as I like James Connor this year, and I like Preston Williams as well, those are two guys that I really like. Like, if you're getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire for that, I would take that deal.
Absolutely. If you're able to give up Connor and Williams and get Clyde, absolutely do that. If someone else offered that to you, I hope you already hit accept, and you're hoping for some positive affirmation here. But that's absolutely something that you should be doing. Connor, you can't count on in any way, shape, or form. And Preston Williams, as much as we like him, he's going to be, he's someone who I would have no issue parting with and getting someone like Clyde in return. Kev, we got a keeper question. You are our keeper guy, so I'll let you handle this one. Someone's first year doing a keeper league, we choose our keepers in the offseason. Do I approach keeper league trades the same as redraft?
No, it's a little bit different because depending on what you're trading, because of the fact that it depends on the keeper league, right? Because if you don't have any restrictions on how long you can keep the player, then, I mean, obviously getting a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you're trading him for, I don't know, another running back that's 26, 27, that age difference, right? So it is a little bit like a dynasty outlook in terms of age versus, you know, talent and situation and everything else. So for me, like, yes, like you definitely, it's not the same as a redraft because you are obviously able to keep those guys for future seasons. And so one thing that I try to do, depending on how, again, every keeper league is different. That's the thing I love about keeper leagues. There's so many variations that you can do with them, is I try to take my whole entire roster and, let's say you're able to keep four players, and let's say there's a player that you're really wanting. I will take my I'll take five or six guys that I'm not keeping, plus maybe a guy that I was gonna keep, and go to a owner who maybe all they have is Josh Jacobs or something, and you know they had a bad draft and everything else, and I will offer all those pieces that I wasn't gonna keep, or to get somebody. That's what I did last year. That's how I got Saquon Barkley, and I just traded him like eight players, but I was gonna keep any of them but one, which was one of them was Julio Jones. That's why I got Saquon. It helped that guy out because his team went from trash to, you know, having some actual pieces versus, you know, me, which I didn't need that. So yes, it is much different than a redraft. Like, I would not just be trade guys. Like, I would want, if you are starting to see your team maybe not make the playoffs, then I would start to look to maybe see if there are any trades you can make, or over the offseason, the same thing. can you position yourself to help yourself out? So yes, you definitely approach them differently than a redraft, because the redraft is just that 1 year versus keeper league. You keep that guy for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we're going to move on to tight end. We're going to try and wrap this up. Kev, we're doing pretty good here, buddy. Normally these start sit shows we end up dragging out for an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. So we're looking good here for week one, despite our late start. Again, with week one, there's so much up in the air. The COVID stuff just made it 10 times worse than what a normal year would be. There's not too many matchups, especially for tight end, that really jump out to me as guys that you should be looking at sitting, especially with your tight end ones that you spent, you know, whatever capital on, whether you went early and grabbed a Kittle or a Kelsey, or you held on for a little bit. But maybe some outside of maybe like Austin Hooper, maybe you took him as your tight end one, or like a Mike Gesicki. Those might be the only guys who I would be looking at as potentially sitting this week in favor for some guys that, you know, you might be able to just stream for week one. Guys like Chris Herndon, we already talked about that matchup and how I feel about that. Jack Doyle, who was brought up, even Eric Ebron, heard a lot of good things about him coming out of camp in Pittsburgh. Blake Jarwin, the Rams lost a bunch of defensive pieces. They lost Corey Littleton, who was one of their stud linebackers, who, if I'm remembering correctly, fared pretty well in coverage. So they're missing him. Blake Jarwin could be someone sneaky. I think he's rostered in less than 30% of leagues. Kev, your guy, Jonnu Smith, going up against Denver. I know they have some solid safety pieces there, but I'm not sure what kind of linebackers they're going to be able to have to be able to keep up with Jonnu. Are there any of the top guys at the tight end position that you're looking at potentially sitting for week one, or are there just some guys who may be a little bit deeper down who you might be looking at in terms of streaming for week one?
Yeah, no, you're not sitting. I mean, George Kittle was in the absolute best spot as possible. I mean, they get Arizona, which we know that anybody that played DFS last year, you targeted Arizona every week. Whoever that was, it could be CJ Uzoma as a starting tight end going against Arizona, and you wanted to play them because Arizona was so bad against tight ends, and not a whole lot's changed there. So, and it's George Kittle. So, yeah, I mean, no, I'm fine with – I mean, you're starting George Kittle, you're starting Kelsey, you're starting Andrew, you're starting Zach Ertz, you're starting Darren Waller. 100% in on Hunter Henry this week. Hayden Hurst is somebody you should be playing. So, I mean, all those guys you drafted probably within the first 8-9 rounds, you're playing. I mean, you're right. I think Austin Hooper is somebody that I would consider not playing. That secondary is still very good. And the Ravens actually allowed the fewest fantasy points to the position last year. They only allowed 4.7 fantasy points per game. That's just not what you're looking for. And so, that for this 1 week, I probably wouldn't want to play Hooper. If I can help it, like you mentioned, Jonnu Smith, who's widely available. I think he's only rostered in like 20% of leagues. I love Jonnu Smith. TJ Hockenson, I like. I think he's somebody that can take a really big step forward this year. I have him as a top 10 tight end this week going against Chicago. And like I already, you know, Jack Doyle, love Jack Doyle this week. I think you can play Blake Jarwin and feel decent about it. But let's be real. With tight ends, you don't need a ton, right? A guy goes out there and gets you 3 for 40 in a touchdown. You are ecstatic. You are happy. You are let's go. Because, like, you know, you don't need a ton from a tight end position, you know, unless you drafted a George Kittle, Kelsey, Andrews, or Ertz, guys like that. But everybody else, you know, if they get you that 8 to 12 fantasy points, you are pretty good about. So I think those are the guys that are in the best spots this week. And, of course, you know, my guy.
We just got a couple of tight end questions rolling in. First, let's jump over to Queso, who asked a wide receiver question real quick. Would you roll with Terry McLaurin going up against potentially Darius Slay or DJ Chark going up against the Colts? I already gave my 2 cents. I said Chark just because of the one-on-one matchup there. I would expect McLaurin to be shadowed by Slay, who the Eagles obviously landed this offseason.
Well, that's 100% Terry McLaurin. I am all in on it. Like, I think he gets – I mean, he could get 15 targets in this game, 18 targets. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. I love Terry McLaurin.
All right. One more wide receiver question. DeSean Jackson or Julian Edelman as Jim's wide receiver 3?
That's tough. I'd probably go with upside and go with Sean Jackson, like we've kind of talked about. I think that ceiling is certainly higher than Julian Edelman's is. That's tough, though, because Julian Edelman could also get 12 to 14 targets this week with who else do they have there in New England going against. But I will say that the Miami secondary is much improved with everything they did with this offseason. They still have Xavier Howard, and then they brought in Byron Jones, and they really did a lot to really improve that defense. So that's a tough one, but I would probably go with DeSean Jackson based off matchup. And just I think even if he only gets 8 to 9 targets, I think DeSean Jackson, I think he's a pretty good bet for a touchdown this weekend.
Waller or Jonnu Smith?
I would go Waller. Matchup's fantastic going against Carolina. Like, I just think it's everything that you're looking for. And from a tight end, I think the potential to have high scoring is there. And so as much as I love Jonnu, I would slightly lean higher on Waller.
I might roll Jonnu there just because of the target competition. That
feels a little bit like to me, though, that it's like a 17 to 14, 20 to 14 type game.
Right.
And which would then lead to, obviously, that we could see that Ryan Tannehill throws the ball 12 times. This way, because that's kind of what they do. If it's a good game script, that they will lean on that defense. And who they just added, Jadeveon Clowney, but he's still going to be behind. He hasn't played all offseason. This is the first reps he's getting. But, yeah, I just that's probably why I would lean more towards him.
One more Jonnu question. Jonnu Smith or Hayden Hurst?
Hayden Hurst. I want, like I said, I want all that. All of that game. Like, whatever ways I can get action on it. Like, that's why I even think, like, if this was, like, week 8, we'd be talking about Russell Gage, right? Like, if this was just bye weeks going on. Because I think Russell Gage is also somebody that could low-key get 10 points this week. He's somebody that we kind of talked about a lot, that a lot of people were overlooking a little bit in this offense as the wide receiver 3. And he's going to be the wide receiver 3. And this matchup is just so good. So it's definitely Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, I agree. I'm rolling Hurst there over Jonnu Smith. So, Kev, any parting words, any words of advice for week 1 or the matchups in general? Let's end this. Any overall general thoughts for week 1? I'll jump in real quick. For me, it is don't get cute with week 1. With as little as we normally know on a normal, 2019 or hopefully 2021 is more normal in terms of, what we get, football wise. Week 1 is not the week to be cute. If you have something that's close, definitely drop your questions in here, on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else. We'll make sure we definitely get to all of these. Join our Slack channel, especially. That is still for free for you guys. You can find that in the description below. But that to me is my overarching week 1 advice. Just don't get cute. The guys that you drafted early, play your guys early. I am normally a matchup based kind of person. I will never live this down in my home dynasty league. There was a year, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember what it was now. That I started Austin Seferian Jenkins over Leonard Fournette in my flex because of the matchup. It was Fournette's rookie year. Now I remember it's Fournette's rookie year. He was banged up, missing some time, and ASJ was going up against the Broncos. So I will always play matchups, but week 1 in 2020. With all the craziness that we have, that we've had to deal with at this point, don't get cute week 1. Kev, what say you to the TFA fam?
Yeah, that's what I was going to. I mean, that's certainly one. Don't try to get too cute with it. But there's not a lot we know right now. We don't know a lot anyways. And this week is like the quintessential we don't know, because we just have very little to go off of. We have training camp stuff, and that's about it. So I would probably try to play it as straightforward as possible this week, kind of let things play out a little bit so we can kind of start seeing how things play out. Like you mentioned with the comments, like YouTube, leave as many as you want. Like we will always answer. I spent all weekend answering questions for people, and I would write like paragraphs back to people. I'm not just going to write you a one-word response. So if you have a question, be sure to drop them in any video, on any comment. We will always get back to you 100%. You can take that to the bank, guaranteed. I know some people will be like, well, sign up for our Patreon and I'll answer your question. I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, we're here to help people. Like, you shouldn't be asking people to pay you to answer a damn question. So regardless of that. And the other thing, low key, this is the real tip that I think most people should take for the season, is listen to DFS podcasts. I don't care if you play DFS or not. If you are just a strictly redraft dynasty guy, listen to DFS podcasts every single week. Listen, find one that you like, because they dig so much deeper into the matchups than your typical redraft. Because in a redraft, we have so many more aspects, where DFS is much more narrowed down, and you're going to get exactly how good of a play certain guys are. Because, like, for us, we often say start your subs. I don't always believe. I think there are certain times you should maybe think about not, depending on who that guy is in the matchup. But I think DFS is the most underrated aspect that people should be utilizing, because of how deep that DFS players go. We're talking about guys like Dan Arnold and stuff like that, and Tyler Croft, and guys that people, like, most redraft players may not be considering or thinking about, or certain aspects of matchups and stuff like that, where I think it kind of separate you and give you a little bit more of an edge on that flex play and stuff like that, because we get much more deeper in DFS, because we're dealing with money and we're much more hyper-focused on that 1 week versus, you know, the overarching, you know, season. So that's why I always say listen to DFS, listen to a DFS podcast. We have one. It's called the DFS DJ Nation Pod. We'll be going live most every week Thursdays, but this week we're doing Tuesday. I 100% think that that's what most people should be doing. And I think it's such a great tip for people that play redraft that don't really think about it. Well, I don't play DFS. I'm not going to listen. I think that there's so many good aspects of listening to a DFS pod. Other than that, just hit that like, hit that subscribe button, because we're here to win championships, and that's what we're going to do this year. And we'll do whatever it takes to help you. Like I said, I'll answer every single question you have. Trade question, start sit, waiver question, whatever it is, we'll answer it every single time.
Absolutely, and I love that call on the DFS pods. Those are honestly the only pods I listen to during the season. There is nothing that's going to prepare you better, answer any questions you have, like you said, diving deep into all the matchups and everything like that. So that is a great call there, Kev. So other than that, guys, we really appreciate all of you jumping in. Please be sure to subscribe, like Kev said, especially to our YouTube channel. That way you'll get notified whenever we go live. Follow us on Twitter at @FF_authority. You can find us on Instagram, The Fantasy Authority, Facebook.com/Fantasy Authority. You can find us all there. You can, you know, rate, review, any feedback, even the feedback that we don't want to hear. There were a bunch of you who jumped into the YouTube comments and said something about the background music being too loud. We appreciate that too. Obviously, we're putting in a bunch of work to this, so we want you to actually be able to hear the advice that we're hitting you with. So all the feedback, we appreciate all you guys. We're super excited to do this 16 more times this week. And hit us up, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Later. Just
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.